Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
But I want that,
wailed 2.5-year-old Ellie.
I want that.
She arched her body in a vain attempt to reach a package of bright-colored candy on the grocery shelf. Sweetie, her mom began, bending over the grocery cart to look her in the eyes, we are not buying candy today. Would you like a zoo cracker? She offered her a cracker from the open box.
No,
bellowed Ellie, pushing her mom's hand away and knocking the cracker to the floor.
No, 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 no!
Her voice rose. You know, Ellie's mom spoke slowly, trying to maintain her calm, I don't like it when you knock things on the floor. And picking up the broken cracker, I also don't like it when you scream.
No!
Ellie shrieked as she tried to lunge over the cart rail toward the candy.
I want it! It's mine!
Ellie's mom quickly paid for her purchases and scooped up Ellie, her little body now stiff and her hands groping for anything nearby, and marched out of the store, mortified under the gaze of onlookers at her daughter's continued ear-splitting performance. Just remember, Ellie's mom told herself through clenched teeth, she'll eventually get to do this with her own kids. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about temper tantrums? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest works closely with young children and their problems. Dr. Lisa Becker-Vizina is a clinical child and pediatric psychologist who specializes in working with children with medical problems and or psychological difficulties. Dr. Becker-Vizina has worked at Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C., for the past 8 years and provides evaluation and treatment to children from birth through adolescence, presenting with a range of difficulties. With a 10-month-old and a 3-year-old at home, she tells us she has had much hands-on experience and ample opportunities to practice what she preaches. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Becker.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
What's the most important thing for parents to know about temper tantrums?
Well, I think there are a couple things. One in particular is parents should realize that this is a very common problem or issue for children of young ages. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad parent because your child has temper tantrums. Temper tantrums can be an extremely constructive part of a child's development. It provides opportunities to teach adaptive coping skills. And there are things that parents can do to effectively deal with tantrums or to avoid most tantrums altogether.
You know, I've sometimes thought to myself there should be a special place in every grocery store for children who have temper tantrums.
Park your
Just
child
leave
here.
Them off there. The whole area is padded. Come back when they're done.
Well, there. In reading some about temper tantrums, one of the biggest issues is going to the grocery store. And the grocery store has almost every aisle has, as you check out, just an array of candy. And so they kind of said, you know, if my child has a temper tantrum, you know, it's their fault. It's not my fault.
Blame it on their
And
floor.
So they have to deal with it as you're going through the line.
Why do we so often think of 2-year-olds when we think of temper tantrums?
Well, 2-year-olds, it's a time when children are acquiring language and toddlers have limited ability to express their feelings or their wants and needs. At this age, there's an increasing need for autonomy and independence. Sometimes they're trying to do things that they're not capable of, but they really want to do.
And so that's frustration.
Are toddlers more likely than other age groups then to succumb to temper tantrums as a way of sort of reacting to their environment?
Definitely. As their language develops, they have fewer and fewer temper tantrums. And so with 4-year-olds, you're going to see fewer temper tantrums. When 4-year-olds have temper tantrums, they're going to be more sophisticated, so to speak, because they know how to push your buttons, they have better language, they have better thinking skills, and they're going to be more challenging at that age than with a 2- or 3-year-old.
And it's good that the temper tantrums tend to go away more and more as the kids get older because they're harder and harder to pick up and carry out of the store.
Exactly.
Now, some of our listeners might never have experienced temper tantrums with their children. Is there a common pattern of behavior for a temper tantrum?
You know, it really depends on the child. There are things that you can do as a parent that can help prevent or help kind of deal with temper tantrums. But if you have a child that's inclined toward tantrums, if your child's more sensitive, more strong-willed, needier in certain regards, your child's more likely to have more temper tantrums and maybe more intense temper tantrums. At the same time, some of the traits that make children more prone to tantrums, such as sensitivity, a willfulness, determination, and creativity, those can be very beneficial to a child's emotional and social development. So it's really trying to balance these issues and helping your child to develop, but also helping them to control their behavior.
What do they do when they throw a temper tantrum?
What do most kids do?
What's the behavior like?
Well, I've had lots of experience with that.
Is it a sudden storm, or can you see it building?
It depends on the child again. Some children, you can kind of tell that they're headed towards a temper tantrum. My 10-month-old, since she was born, goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. So she'll be playing, even at 10 months, she's playing nicely, and I think, wow, she doesn't really seem tired. And the second you remove her from what she's doing, say no, it's a flare-up immediately. And I wouldn't have been able to predict that. So I think we're in for some interesting days and years to come. And then my 3-year-old whines, and I can tell we're headed towards that, and you try to head it off. And temper tantrums change. You know, my daughter used to whine, and I could just ignore it, and it would go away. And now, lately, she whines, and it turns into a major temper tantrum if I ignore it.
Major temper tantrum of kicking and screaming and yelling?
Luckily not. She's very verbal, but she will just kind of whine and whine and whine until I intervene.
But it's interesting, you see kids having temper tantrums in public places, which is always very dramatic. But, you know, lying on the floor, a lot of kicking, a lot of screaming, body rigidity so that the parents have trouble picking them up, or conversely, they're like wet noodles so that they're impossible to sort of pick up. The whole body seems to get into it.
Right. And with certain kids, it may be helpful and important to hold them. And it's not physical kind of restraint. You don't want to use forceful restraint, but it's just kind of letting them know, I'm going to hold you until you're in control again. Because it's scary for kids to feel out of control. And on that note, it's important for the parents to be in control and to help the child get back into control. Often as parents, you're dealing with your own issues in public. What are people thinking about this? You know, and I think you just have to keep in mind that you are really helping your child by helping them to learn how to deal with this in public or at home. And often parents will come up, other parents will come up and say, good job in saying no, in sticking to you.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
That's terrific. We should all walk around with little signs.
I'm working on this.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on temper tantrums.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, The Popular Voter's Guide by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Lisa Becker-Vizina about temper tantrums. So there's a physical security in holding the child if you can.
If you can. Some kids will escalate, and then clearly you don't want to do that. Or if the child kicks and hurts you, you want to be careful of that. But it just gives them some comfort to know that they're not going to lose complete control, that there's someone there protecting them and keeping them safe.
What would you tell a parent whose gut response would be to respond in kind, to start yelling at the kid or, God forbid, hitting the kid or something? In other words, because it's making the parent feel so angry and out of control, him or herself.
I think it's important to know that everyone feels that way. My 3-year-old, it's like she knew I was coming here today to talk about this. So the last couple of days, she's been rather difficult. And
putting you in training, right?
Putting me in training and, you know, trying to help me practice what I preach. And there are times that I'm tired and I do things that aren't helpful. Her whining is like nails on a chalkboard for me. And she knows that on some level. And after responding inappropriately by kind of not offering support and saying, use words, it helped to step back and say, this is not helping. This is compounding the situation by not being supportive. And if you think about for yourself, when you're cranky or moody, you want someone to be sweet and supportive. Later that day, she provided another opportunity. And so I gave her a hug and it diffused the situation. So an important part of that is looking at, why is the tantrum occurring? You know, some tantrums can be manipulative, although I don't really like that word because it has such a negative connotation and everyone kind of wants what they can have. So for a three-year-old especially, but if the goal of the tantrum is to get something that they want, you really want to hold firm and say no. If it's a frustration-based tantrum, you would approach it differently. You want to use empathy with them and provide them support. You want to verbalize their feelings, although with any tantrum, it's helpful to verbalize what they may be feeling. I'm really angry right now. You're angry at Mama because you're not getting the piece of candy that you want. But it's important to look at it as, with kind of frustration-based tantrums, to look at it as though you're building your relationship with them, you're building trust, and you're providing support.
What about when it's over?
Well, when it's over, I think with a lot of parenting, it's a balance and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. So for some kids, you know, reviewing what happened during the tantrum is helpful. For other kids, it feels like you're just rehashing everything. So kind of helping your child to understand and using it as a growing pain, I guess, so to speak, but helping your child to understand what happened and why can be helpful.
Very often when these things happen and then they're over, you've already lost the whatever you were supposed to be doing, your time is just nuts at this point, and and you don't have time to rehash it at that point. If you do it later on in the day or in the evening or something, does it make any difference?
Sometimes it's better to do it later on because the emotions have died down. And then I often do that with my three-year-old, talk about kind of what happened. And it's not usually helpful to ask why they did something. Kids don't know how to respond to that. Sometimes I ask knowing that I'm not going to get an answer and then answer it. You know, I wonder if this was going on for you. So it can be helpful to actually discuss it later. With younger kids, you want to do it very briefly and pretty immediately after something's occurred.
You said something about whining as sort of an indication that something may be coming up, you know, a more difficult behavior. Are there ways to prevent a tantrum?
There are actually lots of ways to prevent a tantrum.
We covered a lot.
One important thing to do is to try to establish a habit of catching your child with good behavior and praising them for that. And I think a lot of parents forget to do this. And sometimes when your child is playing quietly, you just think, let's leave them alone, you know, I have a little bit of peace. But it helps to let the child know what you like. And sometimes you have to be very specific. I like when you are able to play quietly. I like when you can calm yourself down. And sometimes it's important to take, when a child's having a tantrum, the second they calm down, say, I like that you're calm. Because you're kind of praising that they're calm and hoping that the tantrum's going to end then as well. But so trying to establish a habit of catching your child doing good things and letting them know you like their behavior. Trying to give your child control over little things. That's really important. So do you want to brush your teeth before we put your pajamas on or after we put your pajamas on? And that can go a long way. Children often feel they have no control. Everything is scheduled for them. So,
by the way, you were thinking about bedtime. Are there certain times of day when they're more likely to have a temper tantrum because they're just sort of losing it?
Well, it's important to think about when children have a temper tantrum. It's usually when they're tired, they're cranky, they're hungry. Sometimes children who are overstimulated may have one. And looking for those triggers in your child and figuring out what makes your child have a temper tantrum, what leads to that. and what works in the throes of a tantrum, how to deal with that. It's not going to be the same for every parent and child.
Is there more help for avoiding temper tantrums?
Yes. It's important to keep off-limits objects out of sight and out of reach. And, you know, we're all a little bit like that. If the cookies are sitting out on the counter, we want one as well. So keeping those things out of sight. Distracting your child before, once you see that the child is starting to get wound up, distracting them, a change of scenery, take them outside. Come look at this toy, different ways of distracting. And that tends to work with younger children than with older children. They know what you're doing. Although sometimes they're happy to have, even though they know what you're doing, they're happy to have the distraction. Set the stage for success. It's very important to be consistent and to offer age-appropriate toys, things that aren't going to frustrate your child. I think this is one of the most important things is choosing your battles, figuring out what are the things that are important here. Safety issues are extremely important, and there's no giving in on those. But other battles aren't worth fighting, and recognizing that is important. And knowing your child's limits and planning accordingly.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on temper tantrums.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Lisa Becker-Vizina about temper tantrums. We've been talking mostly about toddlers and three-year-olds, but what are the different ages? How late can we expect kids to have what we would refer to as a temper tantrum?
Well, four-year-olds are just starting to taper off. 3 to 4, kids really start tapering off in how often they display temper tantrums. Of course, you can see them with older kids, but they should be few and far between. And if you are seeing frequent temper tantrums with a 4 or 5-year-old or older, it's probably time to get some help with that.
But what about teenagers? It seems to me they have temper tantrums, but they're different. They don't lie on the floor and kick and scream usually, but there's a lot of yelling and slamming of doors and, you know, that kind of thing and, you know, a lot of the verbal stuff.
That's a whole nother ballgame. You would use some of the same tactics, you know, ignoring some of the behavior that you don't like. You know, sometimes teenagers also go through stages of being moody and they may need some more attention and you might look at it as I need to give them a little bit more attention, not necessarily at that moment, but in general, trying to spend quality time with them.
But not picking them up and carrying them out the door.
I wouldn't try that.
What should we do if we have a child who has constant temper tantrums? You know, it seems like every day there are 2 or 3 temper tantrums.
I think it might be worthwhile to do a log or a diary of tantrums and really try to figure out what precipitates these tantrums. So what time of day is it? What happens before the tantrum and what happens after the tantrum? And just looking at what the child does and what you as a parent are doing.
Dr. Becker, what kinds of things would parents not want to do if a child is going through a temper tantrum?
Well, I think a parent wants to be very careful about what message you're sending the child during a temper tantrum. So if you give in or are inconsistent in responding to a child, then you're going to reinforce the behavior. And not that you would do this on purpose, but that happens often with kids.
You get worn down. You say, all right, you know, pick your battles. Okay, so if he has some candy before lunch, okay, you know, the world isn't going to come to an end. But right. He gets a message that, okay, you just have to kick and scream long enough.
Right. And I would expect an increase in their ability to kick and scream because they're used to you giving in. And so they're going to give it a better battle expecting you to give in. And the other thing is, if you discipline or punish your child after a tantrum, you're sending, not on purpose, but you're sending a very powerful message that when you're confused or tired or hungry or don't know what to do, don't come to me. Mm-hmm. And so you really want to be careful that you're sending the message of, I'm here for you, you can trust me. And this is an important one with adolescents, so that you want over time, when you want them to really come to you as an adolescent, and you want to establish a pattern of, I am here for you.
I'm here for you regardless of how you're behaving.
Right. And I want to teach you that it's not healthy to keep your anger inside, and teach you kind of adaptive coping skills.
My little granddaughter, who is 28 months old now, has, of course, been throwing temper tantrums for a little while from time to time, but she's also learned to say, I'm a little worried about that, which helps. If she weren't able to say that, she would have to act on it, which might make for problems for all of us.
Yes, my three-year-old, when she was about two, would say, I think you're hungry, because she didn't have the pronouns
correct.
Or I think you're tired. And that, to me, was a cue that she's having a difficult time right now, and I need to help her.
So what we're doing for the youngest ones is we're putting words out there to help them sort out the reasons for their behavior, so they can not think of themselves as bad people, just think of themselves as going through a bad time.
Right. And when you refer to a child's behavior, you want to do just that. You want to say, I don't like your behavior. Your behavior's not nice. Not, you're being bad, because the child internalizes, oh, I'm bad.
It's hanging on to that whole philosophy of don't be judgmental.
Dr. Becker, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue further some of the issues we've been discussing?
Sure. I think it depends on what the issue is. If it's frequent tantruming and it's disruptive to the family and to the child's self-esteem and to your relationship with your child, it's important to get more professional help, to see a psychologist or a therapist. If you just want a little bit more information on how to help deal with some tantrums, you can go on different websites. There's one called kidshealth.org, drgreen.com. has some helpful suggestions. There's also the NIH website, nlm.nih.gov, and that will get you to their website. AskDrSears.com also has some helpful recommendations, and medem.com, it's medem.com.
Well, this is such an explosive topic, and it's so frustrating for so many parents that, Dr. Becker, we are so delighted that you were here with us today to help calm us and help us get some ideas of how to respond.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you both.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. With your name and mailing address, and mention show number 309. That's again 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell everything that's not obvious. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we air all over the world, it's fun to know where you are tuning in. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available in all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the site, you can even hear a show at any time. Just scroll down to the topic or guest of your choice and click onto the words Listen to Podcast below. Parents' Perspective would like to call your attention to some resources on runaways. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. And ask for the Family Advocacy Unit. They have a website, www.missingkids.com. www.missingkids.com. Another resource is the National Runaway Switchboard, 1-800-621-4000. 1-800-621-4000. Kids can call this number for help and advice and to contact their parents. The National Runaway Switchboard can also provide transportation home. Parents can call this number for help in locating a missing child. The website is www.nrscrisisline.org. That's www.nrscrisisline.org. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents Perspective programs. Parents Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Thank you for helping us to continue to work for you. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt. Thank you.